Hello, or good evening, or good morning, or good afternoon, depending where you are and what time you're listening. It's evening here. Quite unusual for me to be recording an intro to a podcast so late, especially on a Friday evening. As a way to say normally I'd be out galvaning, but that's not true. I can't actually remember the last Friday night where I was out doing anything particularly exciting. What did I do last Friday? Oh, I stayed in, so there you go. So I can't pretend that this is anything unusual. But normally, if it was a two-part episode, I'd have it out by now, which I've not done this week. Apologies, I've been really busy. I can say that with a clear conscience. I've not just been lazing, although I did have a 45-minute window to try and get this sorted out, and I'm afraid I did go to sleep, which does sound very lazy, but I was pretty much at the point of exhaustion. But yeah, anyway. Less about that. This is part two of the podcast with Spencer Brown, which I'm sure you're aware of. As I'm recording this, it's the night before Spencer's fight in Australia. It's probably about 16 hours away or something now. So if you happen to listen to this as soon as it comes out, please try and check out the fight tomorrow. I'm not sure if it's been streamed, but if it is, I'll share the link on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. But obviously the best of luck to Spencer for his fight. And thanks again for speaking to me. I have listened back to this episode, but I really can't remember what we speak about in the second part. I'm sorry, and do you know what? I think I didn't really say much in the first intro about what we spoke about in the first part. The editing process has been so sporadic for this episode because I've been getting pulled here, there, and everywhere this week. But I can remember the whole chat with Spencer was pretty great, so you're going to enjoy this second part, especially if you've already listened to the first and you enjoyed that. If you are enjoying this chat, we've got loads of Muay Thai ones previously that you can listen to. Liam Harrison, Rich Cadden, Shane O'Neill, which was a really good one. Sarah Stew from my own gym, Pete Scott from my own gym, but also who spent a lot of time in Thailand. So you get to hear kind of similar to this one about experiences of staying away from home. So yeah, if you enjoy this podcast and you're into Muay Thai, there's plenty of episodes you can go back and listen to that you might enjoy. It's a Friday night. I'm going to finish this edit, I'm going to get this put up so that I can be done, and then I'm going to try and chill out for a bit. I'm working at 7 a.m. tomorrow. I'm drinking a beer right now, which I probably shouldn't be, and I've put another one in the fridge. And I'm not going to lie, I bought a big bag of jalapeno crisps. That's pretty much going to be my evening. I'll probably watch A Prayer Before Dawn for the 100th time and fall asleep 25 minutes in and wake up drooling on myself while someone gets battered in a prison. And just be thankful it's not me. Right, I'll be back at the end very briefly, but for just now, please just enjoy this podcast with Spencer Brown. Cheers.
Exercise too much. This has become an addiction as well. I have a constant problem of overtraining for fights, especially I get sick because I train too hard, I diet too much, I push too hard, and then all of a sudden your body crashes. You can't drive in three-way 200 miles an hour non-stop, you know?
Yeah.
You eventually run out of fuel and you fucking crash. It's a constant battle that I'm having to deal with, you know?
Yeah.
And then even being out here as well, now having my own place, I find myself, right, seclusion, get away from it all, be by yourself, because I like being by myself. I'm very extroverted when I'm around people, mm-hmm. but then when I'm not around people, I'm extremely introverted.
Yeah,
I have quite a balance between the two. I don't find it hard to make new friends. When I was younger, my mum would tell me that I would go up in the hairdressers and strut up the hairdresser and shout, "When's it my turn, Isabel?" Her hairdresser for 20 years. When's it my turn? So I had no fear of like other people
yeah.
seeing what I'm like or judging me and stuff. I had that when I was a bit older, when I got real bad acne and all sorts, and I got very self-conscious and self-conscious mentally as well. Again, that's just being a teenager. But now when I've been here, I've caught myself not wanting, almost being in like a mini depression sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself in it, then I go, right, you're in a pattern here. Because I get myself a routine. I have a routine when I'm training for fights. It's generally when I'm in my best places. Because I have a routine. I get up at this time. I do this at that time. I do that. I do that. I do that. Sorted. So my circadian rhythm is pretty good with my sleep and all sorts. But I know when I can't sleep, there's a problem. I generally sleep like that. I know when I get very irritable with just very small things or other people that do things. So people tend to do that. That they think that everyone should live the... should be in the world the way they think it should be run.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to have a problem with that as well. We were talking about just people walking and stopping right in front of you, you know, and I'm like, fuck it, I just want to get out of my way, you know.
Yeah.
And I would get far too irritable, just small things that I didn't need to get annoyed at. So I thought best way to do this is don't be around people, you know. So I'd be in my room, I'd finish training, bang, away, you know, where are you going? Away from you, you know.
Yeah.
Get out of my face. I'm going to sit by myself, you know. And I just sit by myself in this mini depression, bollock naked, with a fan on my balls. Sounds nice, but no, not every day. So then I actually started, I'm now having to force myself, right, make expensive, get yourself up, get out, go have a walk around, have a coffee, be around people, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
And then my voice, Jesus Christ.
The lady boy voice.
The lady boy's voice, that's it. Come with that. I'm telling you, they're getting to me. Big Jeff. But I'm very self-aware, so when I find something that I'm doing that's out of character, it's generally there's a problem somewhere, you know. And
have you always been so self-aware, or did it take a bit, like
it
you said, you don't
it took time. I think I have been very self-aware from a young age, to be honest, because I knew straight away I wasn't quite as bright. Well, in terms of how you define bright, I wasn't as quick as the other kids, put it that way. So I realised, right, well, there's something that's not quite the same as what my mate that was skiving off class, not even skiving off class, like fucking around with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still passing, but I wasn't. So it wasn't the amount of work that we were doing, it was just his ability to understand that way of teaching. But at the time I was going, well, I'm not as good, there's something wrong with me. Right, well then there's something else. Well, he's big as well, I'm quite small. I had been bullied when I was in primary three, and it was a very short bullying session, put it that way, against a big, big boy, big fat boy, and I was very, very small. So he was like the biggest guy, I was like the smallest one in the year. And he used to sit next to me and he would jab me with pencils and stuff like that. I get along with him now. I was always very aware, like, well, it's not just, he's not just doing that because he likes to do that, there's obviously a reason for him to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his home life isn't so good and stuff like that, because I understood these sort of things quite well. I've been very, I'm a very deep thinker.
Yeah.
Too much, my girlfriend would tell me, put you, which means you think too much, you tie, you think a lot, you know. I think I've break things down a lot, you know. And when I was even, I think I was what, 8 or 6 or something like that, I was young, I walked into my mum's room and I was contemplating death. I think something had happened, maybe my rabbit had died, or I might have been round about when my dad's mum died, my gran had died, and I wasn't old enough to fully get what was going on, because everyone was crying and I didn't really get what was going on. So I thought, right, maybe I should cry too, you know, because all these people are crying, I can't really conceive of what death is. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about it, I'm going, right, I close my eyes and I blood my ears and try and imagine that forever. So then I was conceptualising forever, eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Death. Shit, I do not want that, you know, this is quite scary. I was like 6 years old, 8 years old, you know, it's not something that you generally 8 years old do, eight year olds do, you know. But then that made me go, right, Roger, I want to be taken care of. God's going to take care of me if I die. He's taking care of my bunny that died, Bouncer. That was his name, Bouncer. Fucking shit name. And and my gran, he's taking care of them, right? So that made me feel a bit better. And then I started to think about that, and started, as I started to get older, I started to pull away from that, especially now a lot more. It's more of a it's more of a coping mechanism, because it was a coping mechanism for me to deal with that side of the grief of my gran passing away. Because obviously I missed my gran. It wasn't like, oh, she's not here now. I was upset. And then when my granddad had died, then I really hit, it really hit me, you know. So then I really got an idea of it. So I wanted that to be taken care of. So it's, I've always been in my head. I'm always thinking about complex ideas. Death at fucking 8 years old, 6 years old.
Yeah, heavy.
Yeah, heavy shit, you know.
Yeah.
And but then I started to realise, when I'm a bit older, I started to realise, well, how I was looking at religion, because it was a coping mechanism for my loved ones to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that's for other people too. Oh, I'm going to heaven when I die. Well, maybe you're not. How does that feel? Doesn't feel nice, does it? No. Right, well, what feels better? Well, someone's going to take care of me, so I might as well believe with that, because it's a better chance, just in case. And let's not go into religion here, but just in case that happens, I'm set. If not, okay. But I realised that for me, I wasn't okay with that, and I kept inside my head and kept talking to myself and being quite bad to myself as well in terms of how to think. And from a young age, thinking very deeply, and I went very deeply into things like death or religion, philosophy. When I was in high school, I was practicing Stoicism, but I never realised it, because it was not indifference, but when I would finish an exam, I was always really stressed about it, how I'd do, what this would happen, and I would stress more about that exam than the one that was coming up. And then when I started doing well, was when I actually stopped and went, I actually had someone write the exam, write out my answers for me, because my spelling was so bad that I would get marked down for that.
Okay.
So I would have to sit, like we're talking now, and I would just say what I was going to answer, and my learner support teacher would write it down on the page for me. That's how retarded I was. And although my learning support teacher, two of them, one of them actually got me in the school, she saved my ass big time. She's a saint of a woman, Mrs. Hamilton, Ruth Hamilton, saved my ass. And but what I was saying, so I was, yeah, I'm conceptualizing very deep ideas from a young age, and then keeping that in my own head as well, keeping an eye on myself, because then I would sit and think, right, well, what can I do with myself, you know? I only have a set amount of time here. If religion's not going to be the point, and I don't have an afterlife for this, or I'm not going to do this, what am I going to do here? How is it going to be good? How can I do it well? How can I do it wrong, you know? And making sure I try and lean more towards the good than I do the bad. It's not always successful, but I'm trying to keep it that way.
Do you do that with everything? Like, I think that's part of what has led to me not being the best in my mind at times. It's like I overanalyze too much.
Yes.
So I'll analyze my Thai boxing.
Yes.
I'm shit at this. Never look at how like much better I'm getting.
Give yourself a tap in the back, you know, tap the shoulder.
Yeah.
It goes on to every aspect of your life, even my relationships as well. Relationship
totally.
With family members, relationships with girlfriends. I've given up relationships with girlfriends to do this, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I've had to sacrifice people in my life just to do this, you know. And I've given up a lot for this, even sacrificing something as simple as leaving my family, right? But my family mean a lot to me, you know. Especially as I've gotten older, I've appreciated it a lot much. And I'm saying, like, I've gotten older, I'm 21 years old, but if I can feel 81, you know. So I've given up a lot for it, so I need to make sure I at least get out what I've given to it, you know.
Yeah.
And also, allow yourself to chill out a bit, you know.
Yeah.
I say this now, but I'm in constant stress because I feel like I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
Or if I'm running out of time, you know. But then people always give me a slap. 21. They say how old are you? 21. Fuck off, you've got all the time in the world. I feel like I'm running out of time, you know? So I need to go now. My body's only going to be able to go so far in the sport, you know? Like, right now, I'm in bits, you know, from training. never mind 10 years later, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So again, get to work. Mentally takes a bit longer, but even that, that determines how my body will be in 10 years time, how my mind is as well.
Mm-hmm.
How well I'm at taking in information, if I actually take any information at all. Some people just live life with their ears plugged and just go straight forward because that's the way everyone else is doing. There's nothing wrong with that if that works for you, you know.
Yeah.
I don't judge people on that. At first I did, when I was a bit younger, and I thought everyone should be aspiring for this, you know. But
yeah,
not everyone can do that, you know. I've been very lucky in the certain circumstance. I don't like luck. I don't like the word luck. I feel like you make your own luck. But things have come up that were out of my control that were given to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was lucky, you know. I've been lucky to get these certain opportunities and have the people around me. The support of my parents, which took some work, but they were never set against me to do it. They never said, we're not going to support you, we're not going to do this. They've done a very good job since I've been young to let me have my own idea of things and let me have my own way of conceptualizing the world, even something like religion. They never forced religion on us. They were christened as a kid, as children, but they wouldn't put it on us. They allowed us to, me and my sister, to grow up and then at least find their own path,
yeah,
and make our own decisions. But they did. If I was to start something, I was to finish it. It was right. You're swimming. You're not stopping until you're able to swim competently in like open water. And if something happens, you know. When I done karate, right, you're not stopping until you're a black belt. But at the time I done karate, you had to be 16 to get a black belt, and that certain type I got to one away from black belt, or two away from black belt, when I was like 8 years old. And I would have to wait another 8 years to get my black belt, and I was like, screw this, I'm not doing that, you know. And gymnastics, the same thing. And that's came on to what I'm doing here. Same with my dad. He's been working away for the past 15 years, so I'd only see him at the weekends. So I thought, and he works, it caused a lot of problems, and I didn't get appreciated until I was older again. Everything he was doing was to provide for me and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So he's working away, comes back in the weekends, but he would vent his frustration of having to leave the family by putting it on the family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And me and him are both very alike, so it'd be a lot of clashes in terms of, there was nothing physical, it was all just arguments.
Yeah.
And I never appreciated what he was doing, you know. But he wasn't able to articulate that to me either. But we're all sorted now. And now they never really got it until I got asked to fight on Yoko, and they thought, right, shit, he's getting there now, you know.
Yeah.
And I told them I didn't want them to come and see the fights either, because when I was starting an amateur, they would then see what the professional fights were, and I knew my mom would be like, no chance.
No way.
You know? So I wouldn't let her go. And then it wasn't until I fought in Bolton, they came to see me, because it was a big show, and they thought,
mm-hmm,
right, the kid's doing something now. And that's when they really thought, right, you're going to go off to Thailand and get punched in the face while someone goes to uni. Okay, you do that, you know. My dad's worked to give me those choices, because he never had those choices when he was a
yeah.
kid. He wanted to be in the Air Force, but his eyesight wasn't as good enough. So it was university, get a degree, get a good job, and it's worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the way I want to do it. I've seen the way that life has gone down. I've seen the way other people's life's gone down, and it's not for me. And nothing had scared me more. Never mind the drugs, nothing scared me more than a desk job. That scares the shit out of me. I've not had like a job.
Yeah.
And I don't really intend to have a job, you know. So again, I've been lucky that a lot of people have to go into to work on jobs, work in a coffee shop or work in that to get some cash by the side of them. I just kind of skated by. Whilst I was in school, I wasn't really doing much. I was studying and then I was training.
Yeah.
So I was lucky that I was able to actually just do that, and I didn't have to then go and. We were never loaded or anything like that, but we weren't going off the floor either.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to get everything I wanted to get. We had to work for what we were getting for. Same with me. If I wanted to get something, right, you need to put it to work in the house, help your mum do this, do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we were kids, like, we never had Sky TV. My friends all had Sky, and we had Freeview. Freeview. So all you had was friends and stuff like that. And that's like when I'd met Joe Jonas, I never knew who that person was, because that was when I was a kid, everyone would watch that. Well, I don't even know what it was. It was on Sky. I never had that as a kid, therefore I didn't know, because we were, all the money that he was making was to go into his travels as well, so we had to make do with what we were getting as well. So I've learned to appreciate the things that I've got, appreciate the value of actually earning my own money as well. I don't like taking money from my parents, and I'm very much against, they'll try and give me some cash or whatever. No, I'm making my own. I want to get to the position where I can give them everything back, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've tallied it all up. I've tallied it all up in my head, i.e. what should this be, my education, how much would that come to, because you have to pay for the private schools, you know.
Yeah,
it's not cheap. All that would go into it, and then travel costs, right, food, all this, everything of my entire childhood, I feel like I'm indebted to them, you know. And one day I want to turn around and go, bang, there you go, here's all this lump sum, that stop working, stop doing this, put your feet up, go and do what you want, you know. I want to give back to the people that have given so much to me, and the same with the people that are actually supporting me right now. They're giving to me, it's not, I'm not giving as much to, they're giving more to me than I am to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of rolling with it. I never set out to have, I don't know what, like 40,000 people looking at my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I never, and I still don't really keep, I could have more if I really focused down on it and went through the algorithm and put, look at this, look at that, look, I'm doing this. I just be myself on it, and I think it resonates with people, because Instagram, things like Instagram, was very much, it's all idealistic, it's all show your best side of yourself. So when I was having troubles with injuries or things like that, I would post about it. I wouldn't shy away from it and say everything's all good. No, I'm a bit fucked up right now, you know. And
how are injuries for you mentally? Do you find that really tough, being out from training? And
no, because again, I find the coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
So one of them fell into partying when I had hurt my leg, which again wasn't great, but it, because you it was a good wake up call, because my dad would always say, right, what's plan B? I want you to write out what's your plan. And I said, I don't have a, I'm 21 years old, I don't have a plan, you know.
Yeah.
Not many people have a plan at 20 years old, you know. But I always knew I can't do this forever. I'm one injury away from being stuck. And then, right, okay, it's been a fun ride, but what am I going to do now, you know? But now I'm at a position that, with Yoko as well, that I do have a job going on to it. When I do choose to fight, I stop fighting. Or if something happens, I can't fight anymore. But at the same time, it was a good wake-up call when I hurt the leg, when I got an infection in my leg. I could have lost the leg.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have the scar on my shin, the infection came out of, it was moving towards my knee, they were saying, and cellulitis, it gets into your a bone or your joints, and they just cut it off straight. So they said I was very lucky that I'd actually have that scar, just a small scar. I had split my shin from in a fight.
Ah, okay.
So it actually burst out of that in time, because it moves real quick. The antibiotics I was taking were helping to dull down the pain, but they weren't, it wasn't stopping the spread. And so then I'd have to go and get IVs, but even it might have been too late, just from in terms of I still, a lot of people, me myself, I tend to just muscle through things. I'll be okay, just keep going. It was a bit of a red mark on my leg, you know, which could have essentially taken my leg off. So then I had to sit down by myself. Okay, Spencer, you've got one leg now, what do you do? Paralympics? And I thought, well, that could be a good idea. And but I had to sit and have a think. What are you going to do now? How's this going to happen? How are you going to come back? Are you able to come back? Do you want to come back and do this, you know? Because there's been many, many times I could just stop, just go back home and just stay there. I'm here on my own choice, by myself, you know. People come out here and they spend a week by themselves and they're like, I don't know how you could do it. Try 2 years, you know. Yeah, you're surrounded by people, but you're never truly not, you're on your own, you know.
Yeah.
I'm the one having to do all this, and I'm the one making this decision as well, so I have to live with that. I ask myself every day, even before it was that last fight, I'm sitting there going, what the fuck are you doing with your life, Spencer? Why couldn't you just have a normal job like everyone else, and you have to sit and get beaten up in front of 1,000 people? I don't know why. probably some sort of masochist, I like pain or whatever, but not in a sexual way. Pineapples is my safe word. But it's yeah, it gives me meaning, it gives me direction. Yeah. It's a lot better than a jail cell, I would think.
Sometimes I ask myself, like, obviously I'm not a professional, but you just see when I'm training, I think all the time, why the fuck?
Why am I doing this? Yeah.
People at my work, at my job, they look at me and they'll see me come in, like, what are you doing tonight? I'll be like, oh, training for 2.5 hours. Like, did I do it last night?
Yeah.
And I did it again. It's like, not, like, why just go home and get in the bath?
Exactly. Like, it's, I even think about it when I'm like, I'm walking past people and I'm just looking at them going, you don't have any worries in the world. It feels like that, obviously they do. Everyone's got their own baggage and stuff like that. It's like, but when you're so heavily into something, you have to focus, you have to work on it, you need to focus on your diet, your training, keep yourself in this. You're like, you could just go and have a burger right now. But I can do that. I'm at that place now where I'm like, I've studied nutrition enough, I can work my diet. I don't have a diet, I'm very loose with my diet.
Mm-hmm.
And it works, you know, because I've got it tiled down mentally as well, you know. But it's, I look at like an average, I don't like saying average person, because no one's average. Like, just your day-to-day life, if you're going for an office job, okay, no problem, but I envy that at times, you know.
Yeah.
Although I'm petrified of a office job, desk job, I envy it at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I envy someone that's not, that doesn't have to make weight for a fight and keep their weight at a certain level. I envy my mates right now that are sitting in the pub, you know. But then it's when I go back and do that, I then realise why.
Grass is always greener.
Exactly. Well, nothing good ever comes from just the easy route, or like, success is always on the other side of your comfort zone. And I've always been one to go outside my comfort zone. My friend's big sister always used to say, when I was younger, she was like, you never take the easy option, do you, Spencer? Because I was having an argument and I had to make it harder for myself. And I was like, no, I don't. Why should I take the easy road? My dad's like that as well. If there was a problem in the house, he would fix it. Why? Even I would ask him, why don't you just pay someone to do it? Like, give yourself some time to, well, I can do the job, so why don't I do it? Ah, I never really thought of that, you know. Well, I can do this, so why am I just going to let someone else do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know my potential, that I can I can go forward to do this in this sport, and anything as well. I mean, like, I feel for myself, if I apply myself to anything, I will become successful at it, with my determination, my drive, my mindset, the way I think and see other people as well, how I see myself, how I keep an eye on myself, which I think we should all do, not in the so strictly as I do.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm some psychopath that's like ready to blow up and start just going crazy. It's, although studying psychology, that's not what a psychopath is. I'm not like mentally deranged. I just know what bad shit can happen, you know, and I'm very, very aware of it. I just don't let myself do that. Therefore, I focus on what I can do and what is good for me and good for other people around me. Because what's good for me is generally what's going to be good for you if you're around me, you know. If I'm in a good mood and a good person, then you're not going to be affected by that negatively.
Yeah.
Generally, you're going to be affected by it positively. So I try to keep that as much as I can. I'm not always successful at it, but I try and keep that, you know. If people spend more time in their own head than they did on their phone, like if we just try to sit here for five minutes without doing a thing and just silence, most people get a bit uncomfortable about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even I get a bit I get uncomfortable with it. It's always this works in a world that's surrounded by stimulus in all areas. Now we've got it straight on our phones, we've got a mini computer in our pocket.
Yeah.
And it's all set to stimulate you non-stop. Even reading books is still a stimulus. Even doing this, it's all trying to just get out of my own head. But if you sit there and you just stop, I don't meditate, but I'm trying to dabble in it slightly.
Mm-hmm.
But just try and figure out what's going on in your head. What kind of person are you, you know? Most people don't know what kind of person they are. Like, who is Spencer? Who is who is Nathan, who really is that person, you know. I don't, it's not a bad person, it's not a good person either, you know. You have to orient yourself towards that, you know. I think so, another Jordan Peterson idea is like, a good person isn't someone that's incapable of doing wrong or doing something that's bad. They're incompetent, they can't be bad, therefore they can't really be good either. It's also like someone that's it's knowing that you can be extremely bad and extremely dangerous, but choosing not to be that.
Yeah.
And choosing to be the opposite, or at least striving towards that. That's what makes you a good person. I know I can be a very bad person. I can be a very mean, angry guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do and say things that would be really not good for anyone, you know. But I try and keep that under wraps and move more, orient myself more towards as an acceptable person in society.
Yeah.
And having good relationships with myself means I'm going to have good relationships with other people. Therefore, you can love yourself a little bit, you know. Give yourself a pat on the back. You've done well, you know. You've survived this long, you know. We've made 21 years without fucking it up,
yeah,
that much, you know. If you wake up and you're alive, right, good. That's a win, you know. If you pull everything back and put it to the bare minimum, which is what I done when I was here, I just dropped everything, left everything, left my family, left relationships, left everything, came here and humbled myself completely. I didn't have much. I had like maybe about 7 t-shirts in my bag. I thought I'd get stuff when I was out here thinking it was going to be so cheap. I didn't realise wasn't that cheap. So I literally had what I had on me and then built up from there. So whatever I have now, I value that immensely because of the journey that I've had to go through to get that.
Yeah.
So like if I buy a coffee, so every coffee that I buy, I sit and think about that. I'm sipping my coffee and I'm looking at it and I'm going, well, I've paid that with money. How did I make that money? I had to fight someone for that. Holy shit, right. Well, now I'm going to start valuing my coffee a bit more, you know, because I've had to actually put my ass on the line and put someone else's ass on the line to pay for a coffee, you know. Or if I buy you something, it's not just me giving you something. I've put that fucking work in, gave you that. That's part of me to you, you know. No matter how small it is, but to me it's, I've had to do one of the hardest things to make my money on me. That's just the way I'm doing it. It's not better than anyone else's. It's a lot harder. And it's not. I wouldn't recommend it to everyone. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. You shouldn't have to fight for your money, you know.
Yeah.
But these kids do. These kids have to. There was 2 kids that were just training in here, that they're next door in a construction site, helping their parents work, and they're like 8 years old.
Yeah.
And they're in a construction site. That's illegal back home. It's illegal, you know. There was a boy in here that would be training on a talk side. He's now fully sponsored. Jocko covers all of his schooling and everything, because he would come in at on Friday, train Friday, Saturday, and fight on Sunday. The fight would pay for his schooling throughout that week, and then he'd come back on Friday, train Saturday, fight Sunday, school. And we're like, whoa, what's going on here? And then Jocko took him in and completely sponsored him, pay for all of his schooling. He doesn't have to fight for his living, you know.
Yeah.
He only fights very occasionally now, because do you want to fight? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we'll take care of you. You just fight whenever, you know. So he fought in Italy, went down a big massive show, travelled across the world, you know. These kids have to do something like that. Back home, everyone's got luxury compared to that, you know. I find it very hard to feel sympathetic for people back home. Then, I'm not saying that some people have it bad, you know. Some people really, there's extremes in all points, you know. But they've got it a lot better off than they have here, you know. If you don't like where you are, get your ass up and go, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't particularly like where I was, although I love where I'm from. Although it's much like The Walking Dead, but real life.
Yeah.
I do love it. I miss my hometown. Even just walking down the streets. But I hate it when I'm there. But if you don't like it, then get your ass up and leave. What is stopping you? The only person stopping you is you, you know. If you need to work and build up cash to do that, do that. Save the money. Don't spend it on a pair of fucking Gucci shoes and leave. and do what you want to do. You know, we're only here for a finite amount of time. I don't want to be sit there and go, what if? So
yeah.
That's how I conceptualized it to my dad, especially. I said, I put it, this is what won him over completely, was he never said, right, you've got me or whatever. This is what struck him. It was like, right, I got the opportunity to come out it was when I first got the fight for Yoko, and we were on about what about your exams, what about for university, and I said, right, it was that, and when I went to come out here, why not university, why aren't you doing this? I said, right, okay, is university going to be here in 2 years? Yes. Is it going to be here in 1 year? Yes. Is it going to be here in 10 years? Yes. What about 30 years? Yes. Is this opportunity going to be here in 2 years? Probably not. Is it going to be in 10 years? Absolutely not. Therefore, it's here now, and I'm going to do it now, you know? Because I don't want to be 2 years going, oh, you know, I could have been sponsored by Yorko in the pub, being an old guy. Oh, I used to be a professional fighter, but I just went to uni, you know, when I could have done something. I would rather go and do this, it not work out, and go back and go.
And know that you tried.
Exactly, at least I'd done it, you know. At least I went, right, well, I gave it and it didn't work out. And even now, it could still happen, you know. It could just go, Spencer, it's not happening anymore. You've not got it anymore. You're not funny. Shut up, no one likes you. Go back, do your thing. And I would go back and do my thing. But then I would find something else, something ridiculously hard to do, and something that would just murder my soul, you know. But that's just how I'm wired, and I'm kind of having to accept that. But not everyone's like that. Not everyone should be like that. I don't want people to be like that. Not everyone should be like that. The whole world would be fucked, you know. But we have control of our own life. No one. It's not your fault that my life is this way. It's not someone else's fault. It's not the fucking everyone else's fault. It's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
You have control of your own life. Your own. There's certain things that are out of your control, and you don't have to. You shouldn't focus on that. You should focus on what is in your control. That's stoicism. What is in my control right now? What are the variables? I can't control what you think of me.
Mm-hmm.
I can influence that in terms of how I act to you and how I act to other people in society. That's how you can think about me. But I can't really change how you do that. My actions can influence that, but I can't go into your head and say, like me,
yeah.
You know? Some people just don't like me, you know? And some people might just not like you. But some people do like me. Right, well, I'll stick with you. If you're going to be an asshole to me, well, then fuck you, I don't bother with you. I can focus on what I put in my body. I can focus on how I move my body, how I think. Right? What I can't focus on is things like the weather or what my opponent's doing.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm too busy focusing on what my opponent's going to be doing, I'm not focusing on what I'm doing.
What you're doing, yeah.
Yeah. And that can go into all aspects of life. You need to focus on what you're doing here and now. And it's okay to look back every once in a while and see how far you've come, but not live back there as well.
Live in the past.
Exactly. So when so every time I win a fight, it's forgotten within a couple of days. Not even a couple of days, a day. So when I won the belt, it was a huge emotional experience. Like I said, an emotional guy. I broke down crying, you know.
Because
it's not just the win itself. It's the journey leading up to it, you know.
Yeah, the work you put in.
All of that shit. Not even from starting the sport, but I know I wouldn't get to this spot if it wasn't for all the shit that I had went through as a kid.
Yeah.
And all the shit I went through with my parents, or I went through at school, and all that wouldn't allow me to get this far, you know, mentally. Therefore, it all just kicks into me, and it happened both times I won the belt. Because I'm not the most talented at this sport. I'm not the strongest. I'm not the fastest. I'm not the most technical. But I've fucking got heart, you know, and I've got a strong head, and I'll keep pushing. So when I win that, it's not nothing. I never got any natural ability to it. It was all work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore I appreciate that, and I know I have to then do that to come forward, you know. But I don't go, you know, back when I won the WBC belt. No, I won the belt, I sat and I looked at it, and I take time when I won it. I sat there and I just looked at it. I didn't feel like I deserved it. I'd fought terribly, but I didn't have to obviously win, but I was really hard on myself. But I sat and I looked at the belt. I'm looking at the belt and I'm going, right, you did it. Good job. Put it down. Right, that's it. Done. What next? I don't think about that belt. I don't. I'm not. It's a fucking. It's a European title. It's not a world title. I don't give a shit. Belts are nice, but it's not a world title, so I don't give a shit. But then once I win a world title, that'll be it. Then it'll be put to the side.
Aye, totally.
Where my belt right at home. Every time I come back home, the belt's up in my room somewhere on like a shelf. I take it off the shelf and I put it in my wardrobe or I put it under my bed, because I'm not focused on that anymore. That's my past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm focusing on what's coming next. You know, it's like what I said before, you can't drive a car looking in the rear view mirror. You're going to crash because you can't see what's in front of you if you're looking back the whole time. It's okay that's what rear view mirrors are for, to glance at every now and again and make sure it's all okay back there, you know.
Yeah.
And you can learn from what happened there. That's okay to go back and go. That's why you have memory as well, is to think, what's happened before? How did this go down? How did I react that way before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like if a situation before it happened, I reacted in this way, it ended badly. Okay, do not do that again. Okay, I reacted in this way, it ended well. Okay, I'm going to do that. And it's also like, right, how did I get that success before? Can I replicate that? Yes, right. Let's look back. Okay, forward again. And keep moving forward. Look back every now and again. But as long as you're on that trend of going forward, you'll be all good.
That's a good note to wrap up on. Kept you here long enough.
Yeah, that's my fault. I told you I go on tangents. I'm forgetting what I'm talking about half the time. Not even talking about what I was supposed to be talking about. Ladyboy Jeffs.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to
me,
Spencer.
It's been my pleasure.
Cheers, man.
Appreciate it.
Well, that's that. That's almost 2 hours of podcasting you've sat through, between my intros, etc., and the chat with Spencer. So thanks, well done to you, YouTuber, for sitting through it. I mean, that makes it sound like a chore, but I don't think it would have been. I remember the chat with Spencer being really great, and I'm sure you've enjoyed it. But I mean, 2 hours doing anything is a long time, so thanks so much for giving up your time to listen to this podcast. And if you've enjoyed, please subscribe, or even just follow me on social media to see if any more episodes that you're interested in will pop up. I'll definitely be doing more Muay Thai ones in the future, and hopefully I'll get Spencer back on at some point. I mean, it is a little bit difficult logistically because I'm in Aberdeen and he's in Bangkok, but he is a Scottish boy, so our paths probably will cross again, and I'm sure I'll be back out to Bangkok at some point, I hope, because I miss it already. Really do. This is probably the worst post-holiday blues I've ever had. And, yeah. I'm not going to say anymore. I'm not going to give you the sob story about why I miss Bangkok. But on that note, like I said in the intro, I've had a very busy week, so haven't had any time to get started on the blog or the podcast. It's going to be about my experiences in Bangkok. But I plan to put the podcast out next week, and I have started thinking about how I'm going to structure the blog and the kind of things I want to put in there. So it is coming, I promise. Next week, as I've just said, will be the Bangkok special. The Bangkok special, that sounds like something really dodgy, doesn't it? I'm pretty sure I was offered the Bangkok special a few times on Koh San Road. Of course I didn't take the offer up, but who knows what it could have been. Right, thank you so much for listening to this two-parter. I really hope you've enjoyed it. It was absolutely brilliant to meet Spencer, and the best luck to him in his fight tomorrow. And yeah, thanks guys. Cheers.